Welcome to another podcast by Air Insight.
Today is October the 17th, 2017. This is Anderson Schoenland, and my guests today are Ernie Arvai from Air Insight and Michelle Merizeau from AIR, which is the research side of Air Insight. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today, and we're going to talk about implications of the C-Series program acquisition or investment by Airbus. Ernie, I'm going to start with you. The future of the C-Series program, how do you see it?
Well, I think there are several things that come out of that. Number one is it is now in pretty solid hands to fund additional production ramp up and the additional production facility that they have planned in using Mobile, Alabama, one of Airbus's facilities. This second assembly line effectively negates Boeing's anti-dumping suit, as those aircraft would be built in the United States and therefore not subject to any tariffs. So that leaves the field clear open for the Delta order. What Airbus gets out of this is a viable option under 150 seats. Everyone agrees that the C-Series is a great airplane. It beat its numbers on introduction, and it's technologically superb. It was late. They haven't had much market success, but now that Airbus is endorsing the product and will put it under the Airbus product support network globally, that'll provide airlines a lot of comfort. And we think Airbus marketing will also help sell additional aircraft. What do you think, Michelle?
Well, I think at this point, the immediate benefit for the C-Series is what we call certainty. The program has visibility, and airlines are going to perceive this endorsement, because fundamentally it is an endorsement on the part of Airbus. This endorsement will give visibility to airlines as far as where the product is, where the product is going. And consequently, I think this is going to help sales tremendously, and this is going to be of immediate value to airlines when it comes to the involvement of Airbus in the sales and support process. So generally, I agree with everything you said, Ernie. So I think this is a very positive development with the immediate impact of giving airline certainty as to where the C-Series is going.
Okay, so how about another follow-up question then? Competitive positioning. You know, right now Airbus dominates the narrow-body range, in, to some extent outselling Boeing, particularly at the top end. Ernie, what can you tell us from your view of the competitive positioning issue?
Well, this gives Airbus an airplane at the bottom end as well, with the CS-100 and the CS-300. And this basically will be the replacement for the A319neo, which isn't selling well. I think they've only sold 50 or so aircraft, whereas the C-Series has 125 with orders and options with Delta alone. So you've got a very full product line from 100 seats up through 220 seats with the maximum capacity A321. It's also more modern than Boeing's product line, so this puts the MAX 7 in a bit of jeopardy, and really forces Boeing into a decision as to how long they run the MAX program before they have to produce a next generation narrow body. Michelle, what are your thoughts?
In the immediate, there are two sides to that, question. I think there's one immediate tactical side, and there's a strategic consideration. Okay, tactically speaking, Airbus is in a strong position in the narrow body segment now. They have a footprint that extends in a very competitive way all the way to 100, all the way to 200, 240. So from CS-100 to 321LR, as was you're suggesting. They also have a product, the C-Series, which is, probably from a technology standpoint, as good as it gets today and as good as it gets for another 15 to 20 years. Okay, so it gives them this technology foundation that they can work from to ensure that the C-Series remains a very optimized asset for customers in the future. The question, therefore, is where is the C-Series going to, in what direction is it going to evolve? Is Airbus going to invest in the product so that it grows and therefore is in a position to compete more efficiently against the MAX family? But the question is, at what point is the C-Series going to compete with your own 320? I think that is the question that I have at this point, and what role and at what point do you pivot the C-Series product? That said, I think from a competitive positioning strategically, the C-Series in the hands of Airbus forces Boeing's own product strategy to be reexamined perhaps a little earlier than anticipated, because fundamentally I see this move as affecting the MAX market traction, say from the mid-20s on. And that probably will force Boeing to look at their next generation narrowbody a bit earlier probably than they initially anticipated. That said, this issue of having one solution from Airbus is, in the near term, for the airlines, a very strong value proposition in my mind.
Obviously, I think the follow-on to that issue of competitive positioning is two questions. I'm going to start with the first one. Ernie, again, start with you. Boeing's reaction to this. How do you think this is playing out in both Chicago and Seattle?
Well, I think there's a bit of hand-wringing this morning in Chicago and Seattle, because their trade complaint strategy against Bombardier appears to have backfired. By getting the Department of Commerce to put high tariffs on the C-Series, they effectively drove Bombardier into the hands of whoever was available. And there were two potential candidates. One is Airbus and one was China. And Airbus was the winner of this deal. Plus, the strategy of putting a U.S. facility negates any tariffs and allows the Delta orders to go through quite nicely. So this, in my view, effectively kills the MAX 7, which wasn't selling very well along with the A319, and puts the C-Series in a position to dominate that 100 to 150 seat segment as a part of Airbus. I don't see a whole lot of good for Boeing coming out of this. They will have to speed up the development of their new narrow body. But right now they're still paying for 787. They've got 777X on the board. They've got the new middle market airplane coming on the board. And how many programs can they afford to do at the same time? So accelerating the time frame for Boeing's development program puts them in a bit of a financial bind. Also, Boeing and Embraer have been quite close recently. They've cooperated on the KC-390, the Eco Demonstrator. The E2's wingtip looks a lot like a 787, so we don't know if there are any engineers talking to each other, but does this force Boeing to do something with Embraer to compete with the CS-100? Michelle, your thoughts?
Well, listen, I'm going to put my Cielo hat on right now. If Boeing didn't see this one coming, then they're not doing their job. And this was definitely one of the potential scenarios. So I'm not saying that's the preferred outcome of the situation with Bombardier, but it's definitely something that Boeing had, I hope, considered. And consequently, you know, yes, they are in a tough spot near term. There is some, you know, I think maybe a bit of fence mending to do with trade partners and others. But I think personally, the Boeing reaction will be one of focusing on execution, providing the best value to the customer with the next product, and continuing a product development strategy with the NMA that will lead to Boeing having a very strong and very competitive product in that segment of the market, and later on introduce a new narrow-body product that will be equally competitive, and I think situate Boeing in a very strong position by the end of the 2020s. The best reaction Boeing can have right now is to focus on product development, on execution, and prove that they're still, you know, one of the best, if not the best, aircraft company in the world, and get a product strategy in place that can, with two products, address the 100-250 aircraft market before Airbus, Bombardier are in that position. And I think they'll do it. I'm fairly positive that they're going to have to tweak their strategies, there's no question about it. They're going to have to think about where we build these things, how do we build them, what are the technology choices that are going to be made. But I think their reaction is going to be one on, let's focus on the job at hand.
Okay, I want to follow up with the last question here. Based on what Ernie was talking about with the Embraer relationship, if, and I'm really addressing this to both of you, I guess you can sort of figure out who wants to speak about it. But here's the thing. If I'm at Boeing right now, I don't have a lot of time. If Airbus is now going to start selling C-Series and I don't have a competing product of my own, I need to go to Embraer to make a relationship to start figuring out how to protect my area of interest below 150 seats because the MAX 7 isn't working. Now, Michelle, you made an interesting point. They have to go back and develop product and they have to execute great. But if I'm Embraer and I know that the only interest Boeing has in me with the E2 is for, let's say, 5 years before they come along with something else, that does not make me at Embraer feel particularly comfortable about developing some sort of alliance with Boeing. How do you guys see that potentially working?
Well, you know, I mean, Boeing has options, partnership options. You know, let's not forget Japan in this whole equation as well. But, you know, the E2 is a superb machine now and perhaps 5-10 years down the road. It is a different technology choice. It's a different risk level than what Bombardier has opted for in the C-Series. So the shelf life of E2, I think, is a little bit below that of C-Series over time, but it is a very, very good value to the airlines. Boeing gets a very near to medium-term value from our partnership with Embraer and the E2, but they don't get the same level of traction that Airbus is getting from the C-Series. So, yes, to some extent, it kind of fits in the Boeing strategy that I have in mind. And it leaves, as you pointed out, Addison, it leaves Embraer in a bit of a situation post 2020s, you know, in the 2030s. Where do we go from there? What is it that Embraer is going to be doing? Ernie, what do you think?
I think the Chinese still need to have a strong technology company that they acquire down the road, and this provides an opportunity for them to go after Embraer, since Bombardier is gone, and Embraer will need some help to support. And if the Asian market could open up for them, that would be an interesting option. Don't count the Chinese out. They look for IP, they look for technology, and they're looking to improve their own processes. And the Brazilians have been able to deliver airplane after airplane after airplane on time and on budget, both in the commercial and in the business jet world. So they've been cranking out airplanes quite quickly. They know how to certify an airplane. They know how to get it done. And that's exactly what China needs right now. So this could open up a whole other set of strategic options that we haven't even contemplated yet. And it's going to be interesting to watch over the next few weeks.
If China does something, they're going to have to do it before 2025, because after 2025, China is going to be, you know, riding the market by itself and probably leveraging their own designs for future strategy. So I'm with you on this. If anything happens, it's going to have to happen sooner rather than later in that regard.
Guys, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Our pleasure. Bye-bye.
This recording is copyrighted by Air Insight.